Hello everybody, my name is Ron, and this is Ron's Gadget Talk for Saturday, 12th of June, 2021. Yes, on a Saturday. Don't ask me why. Well, let's just say that I was supposed to drop on this episode on Thursday, but obviously I kind of went out and I was pretty tired and I didn't feel like doing a podcast. I didn't sleep a lot that day. So, yeah, I kind of snoozed off and slept and, you know, then Friday. But the thing is, Friday went so fast as a day. Interestingly for me, so you know, my own kind of life, kind of it's you know, I'm pretty bad at time management, but yeah, so this is sort of a special Saturday episode, so let's just say it's kind of a compensation for no episode on Thursday. But anyways, that's not the thing that we're here to talk about, that I'm putting episodes quite late. We're here to talk about gadgets. Obviously this is Gadget Talk, so whether you get on Saturday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday, at least you get to hear my two cents on all the new gadgets and all new cool new toys you can get to play with, because we all love technology. We love our phones and our computers, and yeah, so let's get popping. So OnePlus have dropped a brand new phone, the OnePlus Nord Core Edition 5G, and OnePlus Nord CE 5G. This is a new mid-range phone from OnePlus, a new affordable phone for OnePlus between the regular Nord series phones, the N100, N10, the upcoming N200, hopefully, the Nord 2 potentially, and then the OnePlus 9 series, which OnePlus offers, is pretty expensive already, around $600 to $700. And so OnePlus is trying to offer a phone that is still quite affordable at around that at under $400 or $500. Or euros, as you may look at it, around the 25,000 Indian rupee mark, this is under the 60,000 Pakistani rupee mark, which is a serious price segment. And obviously, no one's going to spend. And obviously, OnePlus is not a big of a brand, so this is probably a way, kind of an open door for most folks who probably don't have $700, $800, or $1,000 even to get a OnePlus Nord. So, in terms of specifications, the OnePlus Nord CE 5G in final overall has a height of 15.92 centimeters, width of 7.35 centimeters, with a thickness of 0.79 centimeters roughly, and weighs 170 grams. So overall this should be a little lighter than OnePlus 9. Obviously it doesn't have the heavy specs like a heavy camera, so that's something to look for. Aside from that, in terms of display, you can get a 6.43 inch 90 hertz fluid AMOLED display, 2400 by 1080 pixels, so that should be quad HD resolution, 410 ppi pixel density, 20 by 9 aspect ratio, sRGB color gamut, and it's a P3 AMOLED display, so that's interesting nonetheless. So able to get an ambient display, dark mode, and much, much more. On top of this, you have a Snapdragon 750G 5G processor with an Adreno 619 GPU. Now, this being a Snapdragon 750G, this means this will only run on low and mid-band 5G, like the original OnePlus Nord that we actually covered in the first couple of episodes we had since last year. God, it's going to be a year since we started this podcast. Can't believe how fast time flies in that regard. So, just like the original OnePlus Nord, this will have 5G, but it will only run on low and mid-band 5G, the 800 hertz in the 1600, 3200 megahertz Wi-Fi 5G, which is not the millimeter wave spec, which gives you gigabit speeds. In some countries, you may get speeds of over a gigabyte through low and mid-band 5G, but that depends on your network, so that's out of our control and OnePlus's control. But aside from that, but obviously in their marketing material, they have mentioned that theoretically you should get up to 2.59 gigabits per second. Then again, that's on the network. If they could pump out that kind of capacity over a low band 5G connection, good on them. But hey, no pressure, man. Even if you get 250 megabytes per second consistently, that's a 10x increase from average 4G speeds. So yeah, so no millimeter wave for you. That's the case here with these affordable 5G phones under $500. I think we dived. We've got caught with the rant on 5G. Anyways, so you get, it's available with either 6, 8, or 12 gigabytes of LPDDR4X RAM, and you should have, and there'll be a 128 and 256 gigabyte option using UFS 2.1 speeds, not 3.1, unfortunately. You get a 4500 milliamp hour battery with 30 watt fast charging out of the gate, as it is. So it's an interesting pack of specs. And yes, this I kind of like to say that this will only have, not have millimeter wave, as it has N78 band of 5G, so mid band potentially out of the gate. But if you have 4G, it will run up to 1 gigabit per second. You get AC Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5.1, NFC, GPS, it's got everything really. You get an in-display fingerprint sensor, accelerometer, electronic compass sensor, gyroscope, ambient light sensor, proximity sensor, and sensor core primarily. A headphone jack, a 3.5mm headphone jack is included, which I think, no microSD card slot unfortunately, but you get a headphone jack, so in case you don't want to buy a TWS earbuds, then good for you. And aside from that, in terms of camera, which I think most people are looking for in an affordable phone, if it's good enough, you get a 64 megapixel main sensor at the back, 0.0 micrometer pixel size, which can be combined, where 4 pixels can combine to 1, so you get a pixel size also combined of 1.4 micrometers, with an aperture of f1.79. You get an ultra-wide sensor, 8 megapixel, 119 degree field of view, f2.25, no OIS unfortunately, but hey, better than nothing really, I mean, and if you're getting ultra-wide, but hey, the software, hopefully the software is good. And you get a mono sensor, 2 megapixels, f2.4, it's coming straight from the OnePlus 9, not the same set of sensors, but same arrangement almost. In terms of zoom on the back cameras, you should be able to go from 0.6 to 10 times magnification, so I think they could probably be using the main sensor for this because it's pretty big. Aside from that, the back camera will record video at up to 4K 30 frames per second, slow motion video at up to 1080p 120 frames per second, and 4K, and you can get 4K 30 frames per second time lapses, and obviously same in 1080p, so that's pretty cool. You get night mode on this also, surprisingly, Nightscape and Ultra Shot HDR, so you do get some cool features for a cool phone at a cool price. What a sentence I just said, I can't believe that. In terms of selfie camera, you have a Sony IMX 471 sensor, 16 megapixel, 1 micrometer pixel size, with an aperture of f2.45, and you can record video at up to 1080p at 60 frames a second. So yeah, your TikTok videos will be popping at 60 frames a second if that's what you're into. So honestly, aside from that, this looks like quite a superb phone. And if I could find the price, that is. So the OnePlus Nord CE, which starts at roughly 22,999 Indian rupees, that would roughly be around, if it's 23, then you double it, so that would be about 46,000 Pakistani rupees starting, or 299 euros starting. That's for the base, 6 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of storage. Then you got a same storage, but 2 extra gigabytes of RAM. That's about 25,000 Indian rupees. That would be about 50,000 Pakistani rupees. So, you know, so 1 Indian rupee would be 2 Pakistani rupees, give or take. So it would be that. 330 euros or 300 quid. 299 pounds. And the maxed out spec, double storage, 4 extra gigabytes of RAM, is available for 27,999 Indian rupees. That would be about 56,000 Pakistani rupees, around 400 euros and 370 quid, or 369 pounds. This is a solid price for the phone. This is under 500 euros. This is actually between 300 and 400 euros, or 300, 400 pounds, which is a very competitive price. I mean, that's interesting. So, you know, and this for a OnePlus, this is a good value, given that this is sitting between the Nord N series and the main OnePlus Nord phones. In fact, this basically is going to be, this is coming, actually ironically coming before the Nord 2, weirdly. But I think what's interesting about this is, well, it's a little slimmer, a little more compact. It has a headphone jack, being slightly thinner, 7.9 millimeters, weirdly. So it's compact, it's got a headphone jack, it's got the same layout as the OnePlus Nord originally, ironically. It's got some specs changed out. You got a 90 Hz display, awesome, OLED, AMOLED, Android 11, Snapdragon 750G. I mean, honestly, you start to compare this with a Samsung. I mean, honestly, this really is... So the OnePlus Nord CE will be available across Southeast Asia and in India, fortunately. Be available all over Europe. And, good news, if you're in Egypt, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, or the UAE, you'll be getting this phone. So if you're in Saudi Arabia or in the UAE, you should be able to get this through Amazon, hopefully, because OnePlus does sell their phones through Amazon in both Saudi Arabia and the UAE, so you have to check Amazon for that. And the same story in India. Amazon sells OnePlus phones in India also, so that's interesting, so do have a look. But it's quite a competitive price. Again, when you compare it to an Oppo or a Samsung, good value for money right here. I mean, you'd be impressed. And OnePlus, really, it's all about having a good experience. And obviously, they're targeting this to hip Gen Z and millennials, given the marketing that I've seen on the OnePlus site. I mean, this is for young folks who don't want to spend an arm and a leg for a good-looking phone, a good branded phone. I mean, honestly, if you're that crowd that isn't sold into the Tecno and the Redmi phones, this is for you. You still want like an iPhone or a Samsung S kind of phone, but you don't want to pay the prices for those, but you still want some good specs. You want a decent, good mid-range phone. It's at least better than the A72 or A92, hopefully, or probably better than a Mi 11 Lite. The Note CE 5G is one to look out for. The pricing, right there, really trying to beat Samsung right over here. Not even Xiaomi. I mean, first of all, this one's not even trying to beat the other sort of Chinese big brands that have very affordable phones. Those are in their own segment. Realme, Redmi, not for those folks. If you're in the market for a Samsung and you could pay a bit more money for a good phone with some impressive specs, this is the one phone for you, sort of. Interestingly, this has some upgrades from the OnePlus Nord, the original one. Aside from a nicer look, from a improved design and good colors, you have 64 megapixel camera, main camera now. On top of that, instead of 48 megapixel camera, you got a 4500 mAh battery, and of course you got a Snapdragon 750G. So I mean the OnePlus Nord 2, I've heard the rumors, it might come with a MediaTek chip. And if you live in some regions where there's a whole MediaTek versus Snapdragon battle, so for some folks, Snapdragon would be preferable on Android. Phones with Snapdragon chips would tend to run a bit better in software. They last a little longer than MediaTek-based phones. MediaTek-based phones like suffer horribly in performance. We really don't know. I mean, MediaTek's been pumping out some good new chips recently, but let's see how good they are in the long term. But for stability purposes, and you want something as good as... So we want a phone as good as the Samsung A-Series. OnePlus Nord series is phenomenal. The Nord CE 5G is the latest, and I'd say you go for something new, obviously. The Nord CE 5G is a good phone in that regard. I got nothing else to say. I mean, it's a pretty decent phone. I mean, what do I think? Again, it's good for those kind of people who normally buy a Samsung, are not really out to buy the most jam-packed phone for the cheapest price. That they want a 870 for 300. They want a good running phone, good software. Oxygen OS is great. It's almost closest to stock Android. It's very good quality. If you've come from what's that Samsung OS UI? If you've come from One UI, you'll feel right at home. And yeah, so, and also you get 30 watt fast charging, so you're not missing out on some of the new innovations sort of from other brands. So this phone is pretty good for regular phone folks. You just use your phone to call people, WhatsApp, email, everything. It's good for regular folks who just want a good fast phone that just works, that has everything you need at a good price, at around $300 or 300 euros ish. So, you know, so if this is available where you live, go get it. I mean, it's an interesting phone, nonetheless. And obviously, from high performance enthusiastic Android homies, there are other phones to look to. You can, Realme GT, Poco F3, Poco M3 Pro, and X3 Pro. You know, there are a lot of good options at that regard. So, so do your research, really. If you're an Android enthusiast, you love Android, the modding, the APK sideloading, you're that guy or gal, don't look to this phone, look for something else, honestly. But for people who've been used to getting an A91 or those kind of phones, a phone that just works, OnePlus Nord CE 5G will do wonders. And check out the OnePlus Nord 2 has got leaked. I mean, seems like OnePlus cannot keep the news of all these affordable phones to themselves. We got a leak about the OnePlus Nord 2, courtesy of Steve Hemmerstoffer. He claims the OnePlus Nord 2 will come with a MediaTek Dimensity 1200 processor, 6.43-inch Full HD Plus AMOLED display, in-display fingerprint sensor, 90Hz refresh rate, just like the original Nord. Three sensors, a 50-megapixel main sensor, 8-megapixel ultrawide, a 2-megapixel sensor. I'm guessing it's the mono, like the Nord CE. And get this. So I have to burp, you know, I just eat a lot, you know, I feel like I eat to live, literally. Anyways, you get a 32-megapixel selfie camera. This kind of is a replacement from the original dual front-facing camera setup, one original, one main, and one ultra-wide, but hey, better than nothing. A 4,500 milliamp-hour battery, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage, or a double storage variant and 4 extra gigabytes of RAM. That's the other spec for the Nord 2. So this is basically everything we know for the OnePlus Nord 2. Again, courtesy of Steve Hemmerstoffer. And 91 Mobiles has broke the story. So they're exclusive. Big shout out to them. So that's interesting. So this is a serious affordable flagship phone. For me, what caught me by surprise is the chip. Instead of a Snapdragon processor, we have a MediaTek Dimensity processor. God, MediaTek is kicking some serious ass here. Like, they're pumping out some pretty high performance chips. The Helio G series processors are now the Dimensity, and they're getting it into all sorts of phones to offer you like cheap 5G phones or cheap high performance 5G phones. I haven't seen much about how fast the Dimensity 1200 is. Given the title of the chip, it is very fast for what it is. But it looks like quite... We don't know the price, unfortunately. Now, interestingly enough, Hemmerstoffer has mentioned that you could expect 30 watts of fast charging. Now, this is almost on par with the Nord CE 5G. That's interesting, nonetheless. So... these are some stellar specs. So what you get with the OnePlus Nord 2, if you've been waiting for that, is pretty top specs. I mean, you got top storage and memory options, bigger rear cameras, a beefy selfie camera, and a pretty hopefully fast Dimensity chip from MediaTek. So that's interesting. And this will have 5G, but the mid-range 5G variant. Now, I kind of suspect that the Nord CE will be available next... Nord CE is already going to be out around the world in various regions, in Middle East, Asia, and Europe. And if they get a US release, that's awesome. And the Nord 2 would probably first come to China and India and those kind of markets, and Asia and stuff. And this will come out next month. Now, according to 91 Mobiles, is an Indian mobile site, they're claiming that this phone will cost 30,000 Indian rupees or 60,000 Pakistani rupees, or I think more than $300, which is interesting. So that's kind of interesting. So yeah, I mean, this kind of is a good This is a good successor to the OnePlus Nord, keeping up with the Nord, the main Nord phone, which is big cameras, big processor, big screen, big value for money. But you're getting a MediaTek chip. Let's see how good the performance is. I'm curious about the performance. I want to know how fast this phone really does get in front of a Snapdragon 870 kind of phone. Around 350 to 400. I mean, you'd want to look for a phone with a Snapdragon 870, even in China and India. So, let's see how good the performance is on this phone and the camera. I mean, I'm definitely curious. Now that we know the specs, hopefully it does look nice, and hopefully it is under $400. That's wishing for a lot, but let's hope that it is under 400 and it's good performance and a great camera. So OnePlus is not settling at $800. Dollars. They're not settling at high-end phones. They want to get to consumers on every price point, but they're doing it in a sensible way and quite true to their brand. Even though they're making a lot of phones now, but they're keeping it to the young and hip vibe and the never settle culture that is OnePlus. So they're not settling for anything, that's for sure. But yeah, I kind of feel that, honestly, the MediaTek chip for the OnePlus Nord 2, if it is quite a deal breaker, at least there's the Nord CE. So I'm kind of thinking, given how similar it is to the Nord CE, I feel like OnePlus might have launched the Nord CE before the Nord 2 to give consumers a Qualcomm option, one that runs on big proper mobile networks, works across the world. It's fast, it's slightly faster, hopefully, and for the 1,000 Android fanboys who hate MediaTek chipsets because it's really slow, PUBG crashes, and there's a strong chunk of folks who think MediaTek-based phones are horribly slow, are not as high performance as the Qualcomm equivalents. Oh, well, I mean, this is your preferential trade. I mean, there is the Nord CE, so you can get that one if you want, that has a Qualcomm chip. But speaking of upcoming devices, the Honor 50 series. This is the first premium flagship series phone from the Honor sub-brand. First as an independent brand, not as a part of Huawei anymore, as its own solo phone brand, which is good. Honor is a good brand, as is Alone, for young people, and obviously, sitting around with boring old affordable phones. Some pretty kick-ass specs, but aside from that, the Honor 50 series is coming very soon. In fact, they're gonna launch it this coming week, this coming next week, hopefully. And the specs have leaked now of all the three Honor 50 phones: the Honor 50, the Honor 50 Pro, and the Honor 50 SE, which should be the affordable one, pretty much. So let's start with the SE. So it's obviously the cheapest of the two. It features a 6.78-inch FHD Plus LCD display instead of OLED. That sucks. It's 2021. Put an AMOLED display. It's nice and vibrant. And battery saving. People forget to realize that, But you can put a black background and you can save so much battery. I thought people want AMOLED displays. Guys, you need to understand. It's not about that it looks vibrant. It literally saves battery because black pixels can be switched off. Anyways, I digress. The Honor 50 SE features a Dimensity 900 processor. It's obviously not as fast as the Snapdragons, but good enough for what it is. 4000 mAh battery, 66 watt fast charging, 16 megapixel selfie camera, and a different back camera setup and this information is obviously coming from Ishan Agrawal, who has sort of told the specs. Another exclusive from 91 Mobiles, which is pretty cool. Now, Agrawal has kind of mentioned that this phone could feature a 100 megapixel f1.9 main sensor, a megapixel f2.2 ultrawide sensor, and a 2 megapixel f2.4 macro sensor. Quite an interesting arrangement for the affordable version of the Honor 50. Honor 50 SE, but that's interesting. And the phone could weigh 191 grams. That looks almost reliable. This could be happening. It's happening, guys. But aside from that, the Honor 50, the main phone, it features a 6.57-inch FHD Plus OLED display. A Snapdragon 778G processor, like the Pro. The Pro has this. A 4,300 mAh battery, 66 watt fast charging only. A 32 megapixel f2.2 selfie camera, and the same setup as the Honor 50 Pro. And this weighs 175 grams, a little lighter than the SE. That's interesting. I mean, it's kind of interesting what Ishan has kind of mentioned here. But this has nothing on the Pro. This one has a lot of interesting specs. Okay, there's no information whether the Honor 50 will have 5G, weirdly. Could be 4G only, but that would be stupid, frankly. That's my opinion. I don't know if it would have 5G, but hopefully. The Honor 50 Pro, however, is the most packed of the three phones, being a Pro. 6.72-inch FHD Plus OLED display, Snapdragon 778G, 5G support, 4,000 mAh battery, and get this, fast wire charging at 100 watts. 100 watts. Xiaomi has shown off 200 watt fast charging. This has 100 watts. So you'd literally go 0 to 70 in a very respectable around 20 minutes, pretty much. Under 20. Not bad. But you get a 32 megapixel main sensor, 12 megapixel secondary sensor, four cameras at the back, 108 megapixel f1.9 main sensor, 8 megapixel f2.2 ultrawide sensor, 2 megapixel macro, 10 megapixel depth. Pretty cool. And the Honor 50 Pro weighs 187 grams. This is beefy for what it is. I mean, big screen, potentially, big fast charging, and four big cameras. 108 megapixel camera is nuts. So kind of know what these phones are. But interestingly, one difference though compared to the previous Honor flagships, these three Honor phones now, the Honor 50 series pretty much, compared to the previous flagships, is that the Honor 50 series will hopefully, if it's available outside of China, will hopefully run Google Apps. Google Play, Google Drive, Google One, Google Assistant, YouTube, Maps, you name it, it will have it, because it's its own brand now. It's not part of Huawei, so it's not subject to the, you know, you can't use Google Play restrictions that Huawei had. And amazing enough, the Honor 50 and Honor 50 Pro both will feature a Qualcomm chipset. So that's kind of interesting. And then again, the Honor 50 and the Honor 50 Pro will literally have beefy fast charging for what it is compared to the competition. This will just blow the rest of the competition out of the market. Apparently, potentially, the Pro, it's the Pro. It could have 120 hertz display, so I'm excited. And this time, this is Honor being its own brand, and it can have Google Apps, which is exciting. So hopefully they do bring this out outside of China, and if they do have Google Play, I honestly recommend my sister to upgrade to this. My older sister actually has an Honor 8 Lite. I'd probably tell her to get an Honor 50 Pro. She's had an Honor 8 Lite. So now that this has Google Play and stuff, I'd actually recommend my own older sister to get this, to upgrade to this. Though it would be a big upgrade for my older sister compared to the original Honor 8 Lite, which was under Huawei. So this is going to be a big, big upgrade. It looks nice. Weirdly, it looks like the other Huawei P50, I think. It looks a little similar to it, sadly, with the two puffy cameras. I think there's a leaked poster of it, and it has the back that's a bit like the recent Xiaomi flagships, the Mi 11 and the P50 from Huawei. So that's weird. But aside from that, it's quite an interesting phone. And apparently, the Honor 50 Pro has gotten a score of 526,000 on AnTuTu. I'm getting excited. Now I'm interested. Let's see how good this phone is. Hopefully, it is really, really good, and it is worth $600 probably if this is coming out for that much. So can't wait. But that's not the only thing that's coming out. No, seriously, you really won't believe me. In the year 2021, Realme is making a laptop. Forget sub $200 phones already. We've nailed that market, and I've kind of lost count on the number of friends and family of mine who own a Realme phone now. I mean, they've sold their phones like hotcakes all over the world and all over Asia. They're making laptops. and a tablet. Talk about trying to beat real Redmi on everything. I don't know. What's next? An electric car? What about Realme electric hatchback? I'd actually buy a Realme hatchback if they made a hatchback. Let's hope the Realme folks. I mean, Realme guys. If you're listening to this, please make an electric car now. I mean, Tesla's great and Chinese EVs are great. The Aura R1 is great, but I would love to buy a Realme hatchback. Talk about trying to beat Xiaomi. I mean, because Xiaomi is going to make EVs very soon, and they announced it well over 2 months back. So they're trying to beat Redmi on everything. Power banks, earbuds, smart home gear, smart cameras, smartphones. What's next? Laptops. Yes, the Realme Book is happening. It's a thing. And obviously the Realme Book and the Realme Pad, will be announced at the Realme GT event, where they're gonna launch the GT phone for the global market, for India, for Europe and stuff, on June 15th. That's in a few days time, 3 days time from now. The good souls at Android Authority have leaked the one Realme Book and the Realme Pad, as we're gonna call it, which is kind of interesting. And I'm surprised, honestly. Now, in terms of the laptop, obviously the Realme Book and the Realme Pad is kind of competing with the Redmi Book and the Redmi Pad in that regard. It's a competitor to those devices. The Realme Book is a little inspired by the Huawei MateBook Air X. I'm trying to remember the because Huawei. It was Huawei who started the trend of a phone brand making thin and light laptops that are better than a MacBook Air, right, and cost less than a MacBook Air, right? Let's see, Huawei MateBook X. No, not the Pro, the X Pro. What? Let's see. I mean, I'm loading it up though. We got it. We have an opinion for everything. Yeah. Oh yeah. The MateBook X. Wow. What a laptop. It's thin and light, like what Realme is trying to do. At least Realme is gonna be real with the prices. See what I did there? At least it's gonna be real with the prices and the specs. So the Realme Book is quite interesting. It's an ultrabook design, like the Huawei MateBook X potentially, and the MacBook Air. It's competing with those in that regard, and the Redmi Book in that regard at that price. It will have Windows. We don't know much about it, but according to Android Authority, who showed off the device in full, it's an ultrabook, but it will have a 3:2 aspect ratio screen, which will be the key selling point because it's good for productivity. USB-C charging, hopefully. And not much information, weirdly, aside from looks. So that's that. But obviously, Realme is trying to sell these products, obviously, as part of an ecosystem of products. Again, this is highly inspired by Xiaomi and Huawei, who have done their takes on laptops, smart home gear, and much, much more. Now we await a Realme EV. Guys, do bring that quickly, because we love a one. I'd love to buy a Realme CX hatchback. I'd buy one, actually, I mean, if they did that. I've actually been interested in some of Realme's products. I think the design is really good. I'd like the Realme brand, you know. Dare to leap. You know, they're leaping ahead. So we have the pictures of the laptop now. It's a bit of an ultrabook, and the Realme Pad has kind of been shown off on screen. It's a little like a iPad Pro-esque look, iPad Air-esque look, for the looks of iPad Air 4 look, for the looks of it. We don't know the specs, and we certainly don't know the price, but what I do kind of know is it'll be competitively priced with Redmi equivalent devices. It's a battle between Realme and Redmi. I mean, if Realme made a car, it's because Redmi made a car. So that could happen. That could happen, potentially. I mean, Redmi has a whole ecosystem of affordable gear. Realme has a whole ecosystem of affordable gear. That's good. The real winner is consumers, because, you know, Dell's laptops are not that great and stuff. So it's great to see that Realme is making a laptop. So more competition, the better. But yeah. So this could be coming at the June 15th event for the Realme GT, so there could be a nice one more thing. Interestingly enough, Realme's CEO for the Indian and European market, Madhav Seth, he teased this laptop, and the picture shows the ultra-thin laptop in a envelope. Now, if you're a Apple fan, you know what this is. It is references to when Steve Jobs launched the MacBook Air, took it out of an envelope, and it was crazy. Like, and he put a, and obviously Madhav Seth has put this interesting code here. This dude should get a promotion. He should be a CEO of Realme. Totally. I know this is not possible. He should lead the brand. He's teasing it really smartly. Referencing the MacBook Air. Everyone now knows what's going on here. This is the thin light laptop. So, good teasing. And, I'm definitely interested in the specs. This could be an interesting laptop nonetheless. Hopefully it is competitively priced under $1,000. It could really sell like hotcakes. For what it is. So, I'm interested. Let's see. June 15th, we'll find out about this laptop and certainly the tablet. But it's interesting to see that Realme is making more and more sorts of devices and accessories along with their phones. And they're really competing with Redmi, which is what's happening here. If Redmi makes an EV, hopefully Realme does have an EV ready. I'd love to buy one, along with the earbuds and the phones and stuff. It's a very interesting product that we're seeing here, nonetheless. And it's also part of Realme's strategy with AIoT ecosystem, with 5G and stuff, like, and opening it up to more and more people, which I think is nice. More competition, the better. So that's that. Now, you kind of heard about, Xiaomi's 200-watt fast charging wired. And it's quite exciting and all and everything, and it's way faster than whatever fast charging's out there. Now, apparently, there's an issue about battery health, because apparently, 800 charging and discharging cycles at 200 watts results in a battery degrading to above 80% of its original capacity, which basically means that if you have a 4,000 mAh battery phone, if you do 800 charging cycles and discharging cycles back-to-back, that's over 2 years of usage, your phone's battery would literally be about 3,200 mAh after 2 years. So a 5,000 mAh battery would roughly be around 4,000 after 2 years of 200-watt charging, which kind of is scary, because discharging battery degradation is a real problem, which means like it won't really hold up the charging in that. The degradation is a serious issue, and someone kind of probably asked Xiaomi about it. And turns out Xiaomi has claimed that the Chinese regulatory standard for battery degradation is that 60% capacity should be left at the 400 cycles. But obviously, people don't really use a phone for 2 years, and then if it slows down, then they go off. People probably use it for years and years on end. But if you look at it, a 4,000 mAh battery would be reduced to 2,400 mAh after a year of charging, roughly. That's barely enough for half a day, according to Android Authority. And I would agree with them. So it's a serious issue. And that's low above bar. But the thing is, people sitting there thinking that, Xiaomi was going to bring out, this functionality on the other phones. But the thing is, it's gonna take time for them to do it, and obviously when it comes to degradation, all phones with a battery, and if you charge quite a lot or not that much, you will experience battery degradation. And there are a lot of other factors that can cause degradation. Heat, your charger that you have, there are a lot of other factors. There isn't just about charging it faster or slower or that many times or this many times. But I do kind of feel that they should kind of figure out how to avoid degrading the battery that badly. And if they could figure it out, then why not? Bring it on, boys. But yeah, I mean, we'll kind of warn you. We have more and more fast charging. That's great, but it's gonna lose. It's probably again. The battery's kind of gonna, you know, experience some wear and tear in that regard, you know. That's that. This next bit of story is interesting. Xperia developers have shared a picture. Have kind of shared this, that Infinix is working to offer, get this, 160 watt fast charger. That's nuts. 160 watts. What do you want? What are you going to do with that? The weirdest part is that Infinix's phones, the best ones out there, the fanciest, the most expensive ones, could go as far as 33 watts. And the next ones would probably go up to 50, hopefully, or 60 to compete with the competition. 50 probably makes sense. But that's weird. We don't know what this adapter would do or which device it will support. What are you going to do with 160 watts? I mean, and the thing is, Infinix as a brand is focused on delivering affordable phones, jam-packed with top-of-the-notch specs, at least. You know, if you want fast charging, you got fast charging. If you want 48-megapixel camera, you got 48-megapixel camera. If you got a wonky selfie camera, you got a wonky selfie camera. But 160-watt fast charger. I mean, I don't know which of their phones will need a fast charger. It's cool to have it. What are you going to do with that? But yeah. Apparently, Infinix already sells laptops with Windows built in. And potentially this means that they have a new laptop on the way, a new Ultrabook laptop, or one with a graphics card, and they'll need a big beefy USB-C charger. Obviously this could use USB-C potentially. It would need a big beefy USB-C charger, and hence they could be building this compact 160 watt fast charger. And it's two circular pins, which means this will be obviously be for the Asian market or for the African market potentially. So that's that kind of, and that's interesting nonetheless. I'm surprised that, you know, Infinix is looking to make a 160 watt fast charger. We don't know what phone would probably use it to start with, so quite fascinating. Again, this is surprising stuff right here. If you're into this kind of products though, and finally, Microsoft, they're gonna do their E3 event this Sunday, on June 13th. Their Bethesda Microsoft combined launch event. They're gonna talk about lots of new games because of the E3. They're playing new games coming out. So it's exciting time potentially. And now, Microsoft is planning to take one step ahead in its game streaming venture, which is known to a lot of us as Xbox Game Pass Ultimate or Project X Cloud. Or Xbox Cloud Gaming, depending on how you look at it, but it's for me, it's Game Pass Ultimate. But they're taking a big move here. First, they're finally moving their Azure servers that run the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate service, the game streaming component of Xbox, to Xbox Series X hardware instead of Series S hardware, and that will result in faster loading times and 4K performance, and you expect some nicer graphics and all that on the Xbox cloud gaming service. That's not the only thing. These next two bits are interesting. Xbox is looking to create a streaming stick that lets you access the streaming service, and you just need to put a pair of controller, put on a nice TV, like a Fire TV stick, and let you stream Xbox games and access streaming apps. This is interesting. I mean, now, if you know what's been happening here, they did previously had a plan to create a streaming stick of their own that would kind of run Netflix and stuff, and it would be Microsoft's answer to the Fire TV stick, but that got shelved because of, you know, it was not going to sell like hotcakes. But now they're planning to create a streaming stick of their own to run the game streaming service without a problem on TVs that don't have a smart TV. Oh, interestingly enough, Microsoft's announced that they're going to be working with TV manufacturers to offer the game streaming service to smart TVs, you know, like Samsung and LG TVs, so they can stream games from the internet. That's exciting. That's exciting. Now, that's awesome and all, but don't they make their own games consoles? Like, why you bother using game streaming if you could buy a Series X? Guess what, guys? If you've been living under a rock, we're experiencing chip shortages. Guess what? The Series X and the Series S, good luck finding it in stores. You won't be able to easily find it on Black Friday, even if chip shortages do end by next year. Good luck finding it during this Black Friday. It's so hard to find a console. And so a lot of people are gravitating to game streaming and cloud gaming. Things like Stadia, things like GeForce Now, and Xbox's own Game Pass Ultimate, which is different from those two services in that you get a library of first-party and third-party games, you know, Xbox Game Studios, Bethesda, wide range of games, you know, Forza, Fallout, all this for like $15 a month. So you get the games, you get the ability to stream for your phone, tablet, PC, your own Xbox if you can, and soon smart TVs, which is awesome. And I think it makes sense. I think it's a logical, it's a very respectful move of Microsoft. They really want to get games. Why would I say that? Pardon me. They want to get games to more and more people. They want to get more and more folks to play amazing titles like Forza Horizon 4. But the 3070 Ti is not coming soon easily. The Series X is out of stock. Good luck finding it. The GPUs are hard to find. So really, when you're in a chip shortage, I mean, also, I think it makes sense for Microsoft. I mean, game streaming is becoming quite popular. More and more people are streaming games over the internet. Stadia and GeForce Now has taken off really well. Xbox Game Pass Ultimate has taken off really successfully. And so it makes a lot of sense for Microsoft to look to this idea of offering the service on smart TVs, creating a streaming stick for those that don't have a smart TV. That's pretty cool. I mean, during the pandemic, more and more people have started playing games in a big way, and so it's probably catering to that demand, but also at the same time taking into the expectation that some folks can't find a Series S that easily and other products that where they can game on very well. So streaming is the logical alternative until people have money and those products are in stock. So yeah, big respect to Xbox. I mean, they've done a good move here. I mean, let's see how good the streaming stick is. I mean, it'd probably be a good buy, and also the problem is it won't just be available on Android TV or Apple TV or even the Fire TV, because Google, Apple, and Amazon are pushing their own game streaming services or their game subscriptional services, which directly compete with Xbox. So kind of makes sense for Microsoft to go this route, potentially. But it's a smart move from them. That's what I call a pro gamer move. GG, Xbox, you're doing really, really good here. Good on you. So, I mean, can't wait for Sunday, hopefully. They do have some good games that we could talk about, you know, so, yeah. So, what do you think of everything you've heard today? All these great new devices coming out, and obviously this new phone. What do you think? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sade_Mao99. Follow me there if you can, and share this show to your friends. Subscribe so you don't miss another episode. Hopefully, we'd upload on Tuesday and Thursday, and all that. So, yeah. Till Tuesday, this is your boy Mao signing out. Thank you for listening. Take care, stay safe, have a great day, and I'll see you on Tuesday with another episode of Mao's Got to Talk. Alright, bye, peace. Thank you for listening. Ciao.